I went to college, and the Department of Languages asked the other departments if they had any foreign student, because the student they were learning, you know, foreign, American student, they were learning foreign languages, were complaining about the fact that they didn't have a chance to practice it, and if they could have somebody that could talk to them. And they've asked me to talk to them. I thought it was great. So I went and I had these conversations. You know, we had lunch and we made up little brunches and, situation where I could talk to them and they could practice Italian. And then it worked really well, so they, I was offered to teach the elementary classes at the New School for Social Research of Italian, so I did. And then the Italian television contacted me because they always need translators and, people that speak several languages to help the news bureau. And that's how I started being involved with television.
Well, why your decision to leave?
I'm not. No, I haven't had to make that decision.
How would you compare the work, the modeling, compared to your acting?
You can't really compare them. They are really two very different kind of work. No, I haven't left modeling. The only thing that happened is that they need you to be available, and I've disappeared for White Nights, I've disappeared for another film I've made, I've disappeared for a play that I've made. So, the magazines, it's hard to hire me to have that continuity. But I still work for Lancôme, and I've been working for them for 3 years. I work for more.
Pretty vocal in your
feminist. Didn't, I think what you're referring to is an interview where I was asked, why I didn't model when I was 16. But, there are so many whys that I'm asked. I really don't have very good answers. They say, why aren't you an actress before? Why weren't you a model before? Why? I don't know why, because that was my life, things happen. Sometimes you make the decision. Sometimes opportunity happen. I went to college. I wouldn't have known that I was going to end up teaching Italian, and I wouldn't have known that Italian television was looking for. Things always happened, and you grab them, you develop them. When I was in contact with the television, I started working as a, with journalists, and then became a journalist myself. I was not. We did have many years and still have them, but even the past years where we had very strong issues, especially in Italy with the divorce and abortion issues, and there was no way for any woman not to be involved and try to understand and take a stand. So I did it too. And obviously you do talk also about, not so much modeling, but in terms of women being object, and you said, being pressured by looking good and looking young, and it's true. It is true. There's nothing I can say about it. It is true. Sometimes it is, could be difficult,
Is Rome home?
No, New York is home, actually. Yes, I've been living there for 14 years now.
Oh, well, that is home.
Yes, home. And like every other New Yorker, I'm not born there. I've met very few New Yorkers who are born there.
You're talking about Italian television. I don't know whether you still did work for them.
Yes, but I did a lot of work from them, but out in New York, because I was contacted by the news bureau, so I stayed with them. And then it seemed that I
could. And you worked with your mother on the Minnelli film. What was
yes.
it like being on the set with her?
It was great. It was fun. They dressed me up as a nun with a big, one of these big hats like that. Oh, it was fun. And I could, and I just stayed with mother for 3 days. And it was fun, it was fun. It was good to be there. But sometimes...
Have you been on many of the sets?
Oh, yes, all of them. We always went and stayed. I always loved to be on sets. Father always... Father sets, because he was the boss, he was the director.
Yeah.
We always hang out. Mother sets, you could, but, sometimes, I guess, the director got pissed off. But instead, father being the boss, we all stayed there, and he always gave me... I remember for years I went around with a belt and hammer and a screwdriver, like the electrician, because they were the most fascinating of all, obviously. They seemed to be the strong ones. Then I grew up and I realized that that wasn't true.
Well, what did your father particularly do, I guess your mother to a certain extent too, to keep you level-headed when you did come on sets? I know I've seen children of stars, the children of directors or producers, whatever, come on sets. And they get such special attention because daddy is the boss.
Yes. We did. I loved it.
Right. But I wonder what the parents do to keep this from getting totally out of hand, so the children think they're too good to be true.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Am I level-headed? First question. No, but I think it might be a little different in Europe. You know, the production are much smaller. My father very often worked with the family. His sister was the continuity, and his first wife did the costume, and my cousin did the sets. You know, there is a very strong European tradition to not only work within your family, but to work with a much smaller crew and with people that, you know, it's more... it's smaller, the production is smaller, but that's not the point. I mean, the point, yes, it is also that there is less money, but there's just a style of work. You know, I have never been to Hollywood. I have never... I was born afterwards. It wasn't that I wasn't allowed. I was born afterwards. Mother wasn't even wanted in this country when I was born. So, you know, I never lived that kind of attention and... you know, or a problem that you've mentioned, because I was born after all that.
You have seen. Feel that about you mentioned your mother was not wanted in this country. Was that discussed very much in your childhood?
It was discussed because mother was heartbroken. It was discussed. I mean, she cried very often. You know, that you know we didn't really discuss it.
America is by choice is your home. It has affected how you look at America.
No, but it wasn't America. It was just what happened then. She was very heartbroken. I mean, it was very hard on her. It was very hard.
You've seen a change in public reaction to things like this. We don't demand maybe so much of our favorites on the movie screen as we did back in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments on that kind of change in public attitude? You're allowed to be more human beings now.
Yes. You know, it's hard, you know... I guess that I have to grow older to really answer that question, because I can only answer the question for what I've experienced myself. It's very hard to say, you know, as film attitude changed, you know, from the 30s to now, because I wasn't around. I was just a daughter of an actress that worked in the 40s. But it was my mother, and I just know that she was scared sometimes of the press, and she was scared when she came back to America. She was very frightened that day she came. And she was very brave when she did it. You know, and I remember sometimes I was being just frightened. But, you know, it's hard for me to say how an actress felt, because I can only really sincerely talk about my experience. I can't mix the two. It wouldn't be right.
Well, about...
Excuse me. I haven't had a chance.
Sure, by all means.
You've probably been...
The comparisons are done once you do the interviews. Mm-hmm. Once you meet the press always asks, you know, these kind of questions. But while you're working... That problem doesn't come about, because, you know, I'm sure that Taylor, Paolo and Vittorio Taviani, David Lynch, they didn't hire me because of something with my mother, you know, some kind. They, you know, they hired me because of me and because I fit that character, Daria or Dorothy or Eugenia that I've played. And once you are on the set, you never talk about that. You know, you talk about the characters, and the relationship is with the directors and the other actors. And then once you promote the film, it's the press that makes a comparison and asks us about. But when you're actually working at it, you don't really do it.
Your mother had a certain universality, and I think that you have it too.
Wonderful little confession. My half brother, the other day, said to me, you know. He never told me that. I said, oh, God, that was the sweetest thing I've heard. He said that when he went to see From Whom the Bell Tolls, he, you know, fell in love with Mother and was so, like, touched about, you know, the scene where she didn't know where to put her nose to kiss Gary Cooper. And then Father, you know, then he heard, you know, all of a sudden that Daddy was coming back home with a new wife. And here she comes. and he said, what do you mean? This is the woman I always wanted. And he was so happy to have her as a stepmother.
But the idea of playing Russian...
Thank you. I really tried to work as much as I could. And it worked for several months at it, but I hope I'm convincing.
The accent, how did you approach doing the Russian accent?
The Russian accent. Well, when I met Taylor, I've asked him, because, you know, he... I don't know if I said it here or I said it at the other table. Now I'm getting confused. You know, he wasn't quite sure that I could play an Eastern European or a Russian. So I've asked him if he could, since I've met him long before the film started it, if I had a chance to just try to modify the accent. And I went to my speech coach and worked at it, and then met Taylor again, and he felt that I did a good job, and he wanted me then to meet Misha and Gregory, and they liked me, and then they didn't offer the film then. Then they said, you have to work more at it. We want you to learn Russian, to go to Russian classes, work more on your accent. And then they put me in contact with the Russian community in New York and then London. And I just went out with them every day. They became my friends, and I studied Russian. And then I met them again, and I think I tested with them two more times. They were very careful.
And in your character, the speech that you have with Gregory late in the film, in which you are protesting having to leave.
Yes, I think that my character is the one that wants to stay in Russia, you know. She doesn't have really very good reasons to leave. I mean, I think that life made the decision for her. She's caught into problems that was created by Nikolai Rodchenko, who was sent to the KGB to her home. That wasn't her friend.
It's just, and that's a time where we see you as somebody who's not so much following people now, but with a mind of your own.
Right.
That must have been a scene close to your heart.
Yes, I did like that scene, because always Daria was kind of always frightened and silent and watching out what was happening, because she knew something was happening, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't take shape yet, you know, and she just knew that was something wrong, but how would that happen? And I think that that's, you know, and I was really touched because that, when I came out of a screening of White Nights, a woman approached me and hugged me, and she was from Russia, and she started crying, and I cried with her because I know, you know, I've met so many defectors, and I know how painful it is. And I just felt, though we didn't say anything, that maybe she had the same experience as Daria, of somebody maybe had to follow the husband, the family, that, you know, some, you know, that wasn't her choice. Daria has no reason to come to America. What would happen to her in America? What would she end up, you know? She would be maybe much more of an outcast here, being Russian and white and following her black husband. You know, how would they feel when she goes back home? Yes, I do that because I think she gets very offended, because I think that Daria is doing... Yes, this is not only that, that's her home. I mean, she's cleaning every day at that house, and she's making the coffee, and she's trying to make life for his husband very comfortable. And that's what he says about it. That's an insult to her and to her effort, you know. And he doesn't seem to say, this is the little we have, but we, you know, we're doing with love, and this is ours, you know. And she gets very mad because she's starting to see all that. I'm glad you've noticed it, because I know it was... You know, sometimes you work on little details. I think that's why you have to work a lot in your characters to create all these little things. But sometimes that's not the focus of the film, so you can either see it or not. So I'm glad you did.
What do you think her life was like before she met her husband? What sort of family did she come from?
Just to make a selection, you know. And I think that you expressed through maybe a few scenes that you have... I try to convey a feeling rather than facts, because, you know, there are too many facts to convey, and the film has to choose. I mean, that's the nature of a film, has to choose what to tell, and it's the duty of an actor to bring in the feelings of a complete character that is not right there. We discussed that actually in details with Taylor and Gregory, and I do think that Daria comes from a very, you know, first of all, she's a translator, so she knows languages, is quite cultivated. She would have loved to travel, and she's quite adventurous. I mean, she marries a foreigner. You know, all that aspect of her, it's really quite exciting, because she has that little shyness and difficulties to really talk and express herself. But actually, deep down, she's quite a strong woman, and she does what she wants, pretty much.
Well, did you find out in your research how difficult...
I don't think it would be... I don't know. I don't think it would be so difficult. I think it would be actually kind of easy, because I think that probably the Russian... Though all this is not in the film. All this is like, you know, what we call...
Subtext,
yes. I think that Russian must have been very happy to see an American defecting to Russia, you know, an American... And they've used that. I mean, they've used the war in Vietnam a lot... to show American in a bad light, and to show that, you know, that was... so probably they did use Raymond Greenwood to show, you see, America, look what they do to blacks, look what they've done to their youth. And they would have been, you know, I'm sure that they've been encouraging the marriage to a... not really encouraging, but, I mean, they wouldn't have opposed a marriage to a Russian girl, because it's the total integration of an American in Russia.
What is the other film you've done? You mentioned you said you've done one since this.
I've done a film with David Lynch called Blue Velvet, but we finished shooting last Tuesday. So it's not edited yet, and I don't know when it'll come out.
This is quite apart now from your looks. I'm talking about your voice. You have a striking voice, and I'm wondering if you use or are planning on using your voice as an acting tool.
I sing.
Narrations. Okay, singing.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I do my commercial, and I use my voice. And in this film, I'm playing a singer, but I've never sang. So I worked at it, and I'm a singer in this film.
Well, let me follow that up with the physical aspect of it. As an erstwhile artist, I especially appreciate a face that always looks different from different angles and in different lighting situations. I cannot get.
Oh, really?
Oh,
because
on your
you did. Yes, because you did.
You look so different.
Oh, really?
Is that why you make a good model? I mean, why is that? Do people look for faces like
that? No, I don't think so. I don't know. I know it's the first time I hear it that I look different in every. Of every angle. No,
indeed.
I don't. Yeah.
It's a phenomenon of nature.
Are you threatened by seeing yourself on film? I mean, the first time you saw yourself.
Well, the first time I did, yes. You know, the first time I seen myself on television, actually. I hated it myself. Then you kind of, you know, relax and, you know, and look at it with a different eye, with a little more professional eye, you know. You're just not. And then when I did my first film with Paolo and Vittorio Taviani, that was hard, too. You know, it's always a little bit hard, but I think I've overcome that first time that you see yourself with everybody, really.
They must revere your father.
I'm sorry?
They must revere your father.
What does it mean, revere?
To respect. To deeply respect.
Who?
Your father.
Who, me?
The Taviani brothers.
Oh, the Taviani, immensely, yes, immensely. Yes, they do.
Where would they be without it?
Well, they do say that it has been a big influence on their work. But they do have a very, you know, they do have their own style. It's quite extraordinary.
Do you have a favorite film of your mother's? A typical question. But
no. Well, no, it isn't a typical question. Actually, I love a lot of films about her. You know, I must say that I'm very affectionate to the films that I've done together, maybe because it was the two of them. They weren't the most successful of her career. But I do like those films a lot.
When did you first, as a child, at what age do you remember your first impression that you knew that she was someone other than mother, I mean, that she was a very special one?
But it wasn't really a moment where I realized it. I think that when you grow older and little by little, you know, first of all, you have to find out that not every parent is famous because, you know, you assume that everybody's famous. You know, they're famous because they're famous, you know, parents, they're big, strong, they know what, you know. I mean, you just, you know, you're two or three, you don't have that, you know, then you grow, it's little by little that you realize it, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me sign this.
John, and the date is?
While you're signing that, I will ask you, did being a twin cause any special problems? I mean, I know it has its advantages, but some twins I've known also have some psychological problems from being twins.
No, I didn't. I mean, we are fraternal twins. You know, we are not identical twins.
But just having someone exactly the same age always.
No, we're not the same way. We look different.
Yeah, I know that.
Yes, and we do
the same age. And just
yes. Oh no, I love that. I love that. You know, I'm closest to my sister.
No jealousy, no competition, no anything like that.
But you know.